You know, there's a silver lining to this war on Iran that has shut off, you know, 20% of the world's oil supply and a lot of the supply of natural gas, etc. The silver lining is that there's a massive acceleration of shifting towards green energy technologies that are actually breakthrough. I'm not talking about just old school wind and solar and things like that. Talking about breakthrough technologies, and one of them is called low-energy nuclear reactions, or LENR, also used to be called cold fusion. Well, there's a lot happening in cold fusion, and it turns out that this war in the Middle East is accelerating things. Now, I've been covering cold fusion for many years, maybe 7 years or something. No, I think longer than that, actually. But a long time. And I've long known that it's a real phenomenon. It's something that is natural. It's entirely consistent with the laws of physics, but it's also finicky. And of course, conventional physicists never wanted to look at this. And the argument was, well, I mean, you know, besides, we have plenty of oil. Well, that argument doesn't fly any longer. And all of a sudden, many countries around the world are desperate to find new energy sources that don't emit carbon dioxide, for one thing, you know, because of all the climate cultism out there. They're all about low carbon emissions. But, you know, nuclear energy doesn't have carbon emissions. However, countries like Japan are very much afraid of nuclear energy because of what happened with Fukushima. Was that 2011, I think, is when that happened? And you can't blame them. And by the way, the Fukushima nuclear power facility was built by General Electric. So that's American technology that went bad. And of course, that fission approach to nuclear energy creation, which of course uses fuel rods to boil water to create steam to drive steam turbines that then produce alternating current electricity, right? That whole process then results in nuclear waste material that somebody has to do something with. Well, what if there were a cleaner way to boil water and push it through steam turbines to generate power? Of course, you know, you could boil water with coal, but that's not, you know, that's not considered a clean way to do things. You can spin a turbine with natural gas. Those are called gas turbines, but they're loud. And right now, the data centers that are exploding all across America, they're installing gas turbines, which is creating noise pollution. And of course, a lot of heat. And using up the natural gas of the world. And of course, that's not a carbon-free emission system, obviously. So that's not something that the environmentalists want. But low-energy nuclear reactions, or cold fusion, is the perfect technology to heat water. And once you heat that water, of course, then, you know, you can drive the steam turbines and you can generate electricity at scale. Now, I've been covering for many years, I've been interviewing James Martinez, who speaks about a company called Brillouin, which is based in California. But there are other companies around the world that are working on various renditions of low-energy nuclear reaction technology. Now, for the record, by the way, I have an interview coming up with James Martinez for Decentralized TV, so you don't want to miss that. That's going to be a really great interview. But I want to bring your attention today to a different company, a company out of Japan called Clean Planet, and their website is cleanplanet.co.jp. So they are a Japanese company that has developed, and they have something like 130 plus patents or something in that range. They developed what they call a QHE boiler. And the QHE, they say that means quantum hydrogen energy. So one of the ways that LENR works, regardless of what kind of materials you're talking about, typically it claims to push hydrogen into other lattices of various elements. It could be platinum, could be copper, could be nickel, whatever, in order to cause fusion, which releases excess heat as a result. So that's why it's called cold fusion cold, meaning it's not millions of degrees like hot fusion systems or the fusion in the sun. So cold doesn't actually mean frigid cold. Cold just means maybe something less than 1,000 degrees Celsius, okay? It would still be hot for you and I to touch it, probably. But there's no risk of a runaway criticality event like you have in fusion nuclear power plants. And also, you don't have to have this massive multi-billion dollar energy system to have the temperatures of the sun and you know, with a magnetic levitation field and all this, you know, with 50,000 lasers. You don't need any of that stuff. This technology, LENER, takes place on a desktop. And in fact, this Japanese company, Clean Planet, has investment money now from Mitsubishi. Right. So they're not just some fly-by-night company. They have received, let's see, in 2025, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government gave them $6.8 million equivalent in yen. And they're going to build a production facility. They're actually going into production scale with their technology now. And then in February of this year, they had some Series B fundraising. Let's see, or maybe that's even still open. They've raised almost $13 million to date. They've got six investors, including Sankei Building Company, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government, like I mentioned, Miura of Japan, and the Tohoku University Startup Incubation Center. And then the company is supported additionally, I mentioned Mitsubishi. Maybe Mitsubishi, I'm not sure if they're an investor or if they're just sort of validating the technology. It's not clear from my research. Nevertheless, they're working with Mitsubishi on validation of the technology and some guidance on moving from R&D to the industrial scale build-out. Also, one of the advisors to Clean Planet is a man named Tokutaro Nakai. He is the former vice minister for the environment of Japan, and he was an advisor to Nippon Steel also. So, you know, heavyweight person who knows a lot about energy, obviously. So this company, Clean Planet, they have developed what they call the Ikaros module, or Ikaros, I-K-A-R-O-S, Ikaros module, QHE, again, quantum, what do they call it? Quantum hydrogen energy, yeah. Sorry, every time I see HE, I keep thinking helium, you know, because from the table of elements, but it's hydrogen energy. And then they claim that each module, which can sit basically on a desktop, can generate 24 kilowatts of heat. Wow! Wow! And let's see, the materials that they say they are using are relatively simple. From their website, they're using nickel and copper. Nickel and copper. Wow! And then the hydrogen that they're pushing into the lattice of nickel and copper, which is probably, you know, layered at the nanoscale or something. I'm sure it's a very elaborate lattice. But as the hydrogen gets pushed into it, then there's fusion. There's actually atomic fusion, which releases the excess energy. And that excess energy, according to their website, is targeted at 24 kilowatts. But that's heat. That's not, you know, it's not like solar panel energy. It's not DC electricity. It's 24 kilowatts of heat energy. But that's a lot of heat energy on a desktop. And of course, you know, you can boil water with a fraction of that, right? Because, you know, you can buy even like a 1500 watt or a 1.5 kilowatt little desktop, you know, boiler stove thing, like a little portable stovetop. And you could boil water with 1.5 kilowatts. With 24 kilowatts, you can boil a lot of water. And the thing is that the use of water to drive steam turbines is a very mature technology, because that's used, of course, in the nuclear industry. It's used in, well, it's actually used in a lot of industries to use excess heat in a constructive way and kind of to recapture some amount of energy in the form of electricity. So that part of this equation is not difficult. If you could create heat, we can turn that heat into alternating current, or we can charge batteries with it, or we can drive motors, or we can power the electric grid, or we can power data centers. That's not the difficult part. The question that the scientific community would have, and I use that term loosely, trust me, is does this technology actually work? And of course, I've been covering different variations of this technology for many years. I'm convinced that this is real, that this is consistent with the laws of nature. I'm convinced that this technology works, even though I've never had my hands on a unit, but I've studied it quite a lot. I've interviewed several people. I've listened to many different podcasts. I've read many different science papers on this over the years, and there's no question in my mind that this works. It's just that it's a slow heat generation process. So it doesn't generate current directly. And when I say slow, what I mean is, you know, it's not fancy. There's nothing that you can really look at. You know, it doesn't look cool. All it is a container of water getting hot over and over again. And if you feed cold water into it, the water gets hot. And you feed more cold water, it gets hot. That's how these work. It's pretty amazing. And yes, they have their own electrical input of some kind. So, you know, they have their own energy requirement that is a fraction of the output energy. So, yeah, they will still consume some energy themselves per module, but they will put out many times more energy in terms of heat. Then the question becomes, what's the efficiency of capturing heat energy and turning it into electricity? And that efficiency, I would have to look up the numbers. I'm not sure, but with steam turbines, I think it would be generous to say 40%, okay? I'm just guessing. Maybe it's higher. But let's say if you could generate 24 kilowatts off of one of these units, you could maybe turn that into, let's just use a round number, 10 kilowatts of electricity, which means in 1 hour, you've generated 10 kilowatt hours of electricity. That is very cool, which means this is more than enough to run a person's home or a typical home. So one of these units could drive basically the entire electrical needs of a home, including potentially some charging of EVs if you attach some batteries to this system. So you could kind of store up extra energy in advance and then dump it into your EV, you know? But at a commercial scale, which is where this is focused, then you would chain a bunch of these together. You know, so obviously, let's say if you're getting 10 kilowatts, right? So if you chain 100 of these together, then you're getting 1 megawatt, right? So 100 of these can produce, and again, these are my estimates. This is not official company information. But if you had 100 of these units together, you're doing 1 megawatt. That's a pretty hefty amount. And then if you chain 1,000 of those together, then you're doing 1 gigawatt of energy, which is a lot. That's enough to power, you know, thousands of homes, by the way. But that's also enough to power a massive 1 gigawatt data center. And the thing is about this kind of energy, Leonard, is that it works 24/7. It doesn't require the sun to shine. It doesn't require the wind to blow. It doesn't require shipments of oil or natural gas out of the Persian Gulf, et cetera, et cetera. This, as long as you're feeding it the right water and hydrogen, and the systems that I'm familiar with would use heavy water, which is found in all the oceans of the world. It's, you know, widely available. But for this technology, you would feed it something like hydrogen gas, and then you would get this excess energy as long as you kept feeding it the hydrogen gas at very small quantities, by the way, because remember, this is a mass to energy conversion. So you don't need much mass. Hardly any, in fact. I mean, maybe you could run one of these for a year on like one small tank of hydrogen that would fit in a backpack or something like that. You know, it's on that scale. Again, that's just my estimate, but I want you to understand, this unit that does this, that generates the 24 kilowatts, only weighs 12 kilograms, you know, so it's like 35 pounds or whatever that is. It's not that much, or, you know, 30 to 35 pounds. And It's what is it? It's only 120 centimeters tall. So, you know, 1.2 meters tall. It weighs 30 pounds or whatever. It's a small unit that produces a lot of power. So here's my point, that with this war happening in the Middle East and the lack of natural gas and oil affecting countries like Japan and Taiwan and South Korea, especially a lot of Southeast Asian nations as well. You know, think about Bangladesh, but also think about the energy supply in India or Egypt or, you know, a bunch of other countries. These countries need a technology that replaces the Middle East. And with the Middle East now in a crisis mode, the argument has completely changed. Where last year, somebody could state as their argument, well, we don't need Lenner technology because we've got oil and gas coming out of Qatar. Well, that argument has now failed. So there is no natural gas coming out of Qatar, and the Qatar gas trains, the LNG trains, have been damaged, or at least two of them have been destroyed, and they're saying it's going to be 5 years before those are back online. So wait a second, right? And then some of the oil wells are being permanently damaged to where they're never going to be back at 100%, not ever. Some would be lucky to come back to 80% flow, maybe 70% on other wells. So we are never going back to the energy abundance that we had before the end of February 2026 when Trump launched this war on Iran for whatever reason. That seems insane. We're never going back to the energy abundance we had. Thus, the war with Iran has forced the world to move forward with exotic energy research. And where cold fusion used to sound crazy 5 years ago, now countries like Japan are like, well, wait a second, we should take a look at this because we certainly cannot depend on, you know, the Persian Gulf, and we can't depend on our allies, the United States, either, because they started this war, right? That's another one. And we can't trust the nuclear, you know, the fission power plants, and we can't wait for the hot fusion, which might work by the year 2075 or something, but probably won't, and they'll ask for another $100 billion of funding to make a bigger project with more energy, and it still won't work, but whatever. Low energy nuclear reactions is something that works now. It's confirmed now. Again, not in the conventional scientific community, because, you know, I mean, those people still think carbon dioxide is bad. I mean, they're not even qualified to be scientists. So, of course, they're never going to understand what this is. But you and I understand that the way forward is to decentralize power production through these kinds of small units that could be in every household or every business, every hospital, every military base, every, you know, manufacturing facility could have its own local electrical supply. And then we wouldn't need a power grid, would we? Wouldn't need a power grid. Just need hydrogen distribution. You know, the hydrogen van shows up once a month or something, or once a year, and hands you another tank of hydrogen that you pay for to fuel your house for the next year. You know, that's what it could be. Almost like Mr. Fusion out of the movie Back to the Future. That's kind of where this is going. And yeah, you might have some maintenance on your home Lenner unit. Oh, and by the way, the Japanese company, Clean Planet, they don't even use the term cold fusion. They don't even use the term Lenner, I don't think. They say it's quantum hydrogen energy, or QHE, which, again, is confusing to me because I keep thinking it's helium. Nevertheless, they don't use the term cold fusion because they know that term turns people off. So they use terms like condensed matter nuclear reaction, you know, things like that. Oh, and here it is. They've obtained 117 patents in 23 countries. That's a big deal. So, in a way, this war with Iran may, in the long run, even though in the short term, it's going to cause a lot of chaos and famine and disruptions and bankruptcies and you know, all kinds of horrible effects. But in the long run, this looks increasingly like it's going to be the turning point, the pivot for human civilization to finally end its addiction on hydrocarbons and seriously start pushing for other forms of energy that don't require the Persian Gulf, that really don't require the Middle East at all. And, you know, if you're one of the Emirates, you know, in the United Arab Emirates, or if you're one of the kings of Saudi Arabia or whatever, you don't want to hear that, you know. Obviously, you want to keep selling your oil as long as possible. And some people suspect that the oil industry, whether in the West or the East, has suppressed a lot of so-called free energy technologies for many, many decades. Maybe that's true. But right now, the world doesn't have a choice. The world needs energy. And now, countries and corporations are willing to look beyond the things that used to trip them up. That's where we are today because of this war. So maybe we can thank Trump for unleashing the level of interest into cold fusion that ultimately resulted in cold fusion being commercialized to where a lot of people don't need hydrocarbons anymore from the Middle East. Now, I understand there are other products out of the Middle East that are important: sulfuric acid, helium, polyethylene, etc. I get it. You know, obviously the ammonia and the urea for fertilizer using the Haber-Bosch process to, you know, to change natural gas into nitrogenous fertilizer. We've covered all that before. I understand. There's still a need for some amount of gas, but what if you could replace all the hydrocarbons in terms of energy use with something like cold fusion? And then, on top of this, at the same time, Chinese companies like CATL and BYD and Gotion, these companies are now announcing these amazing battery technologies that have an incredible charge-discharge cycle life. Gotion just announced a battery that has 20,000 cycles that it will support. And there's also another company out of Estonia, I think, called Donut Lab that claims 100,000 cycles, but that hasn't been proven yet. And they have a solid-state battery, which I'm very skeptical a solid-state battery could do 100,000 cycles, but who knows? Nevertheless, this Gotion company out of China, they're legit. Yes, they have a battery that does 20,000 cycles. And CATL has been announcing all kinds of new, like, rapid charge EV batteries where you can charge from almost 0% to 90% in something like, you know, 6 minutes or whatever it is. It's incredible the amount of energy these batteries can take in now without self-destructing. That's some amazing chemistry right there. So if you combine the Chinese battery technology with this Japanese cold fusion tech, or the California Brillouin cold fusion technology, or the others that are announcing similar things around the world, now you have the perfect setup. You know, you'd buy a cold fusion unit. Again, I'm calling it cold fusion, but these companies don't. Let's call it Lenner. You buy a Lenner unit. Let's take this one from Japan, 24 kilowatts, and I'm estimating you get 10 kilowatts of usable energy. Okay, you buy one of these units, you stick it in your garage, and it's generating 10 kilowatts all day long, and you buy these amazing batteries from China as part of a battery storage system. You don't even need solar panels at this point, by the way. So you're basically building a solar system without solar panels. So yeah, you still have the inverter, you know, you still have the batteries, but this, what do they call it again? QHE unit is generating all this power 24/7 while you're sleeping. So then you buy an EV, and when you come home with your EV, you want to charge up, you just plug it into your battery pack there, and your batteries are recharged by the Lenner unit. So you don't even need a power grid connection. You don't even have an electric bill at all. You're not even connected to the power grid at this point. And so you don't care what the data centers are doing to the power grid, because you know they're going to take your power anyway. They're going to cut you off anyway. So we might as well get moving in this direction. So you can recharge everything. You know, your power tools, your electric lawnmower, if you have one of those. You know, your home robot, whatever. Your EV truck, you know, your electric plane and, you know, the helicopter you have in the backyard that's also electric because that's coming. There's going to be electric aircraft with this battery technology. You can recharge all of that from this unit sitting in your garage because 10 kilowatts adds up, you know, 10 kilowatts times 24 hours. That's a lot. That's a lot of power, you know, every single day. So this is what decentralized power looks like in the future. And in a weird way, we might have Trump to thank for this. Can you imagine? Not that he did any of this on purpose, you know, because Trump is very friendly with the oil industry and the natural gas industry. Wouldn't it be weird if he put them out of business largely by forcing the world to investigate and embrace alternatives? Because that's what it looks like is happening. Pretty wild, huh? Pretty wild. Now, everything I've described here is going to take a few years to get rolled out, obviously. And even this company, Clean Planet, you know, they're not selling these units yet. They're still building things out. Same thing with Brillouin. And my understanding is a lot of these companies, they've licensed their tech first to boiler manufacturers, because that's obvious, where you just heat water with it. You know, you get extra heat for your boiler, so it saves a lot of electricity or gas for the boilers, you know, to heat buildings and things like that. So that's the first application. But eventually, as this technology is more and more proven and then ultimately miniaturized, this will come to people's homes. And you'll be able to buy these units and install them in your home, and it'll be totally normal, and you'll just be generating electricity 24/7, and that it won't be weird. It'll just be, you know, it'll just be the latest thing, the latest technology. And there's no radiation emitted from Lenner, by the way. You don't have to worry about radiation. It's not going to go nuclear. You know, it can't have a meltdown. It's not doing fission. It's not hot. It's not very hot. You know, it doesn't have any of the risks. And there's no waste product from it. There's no waste. Like, oh, what, you know, maybe after you use one of the cathode rods or something for a couple of years, yeah, you end up tossing some, you know, nickel or copper or palladium or whatever. But it's not toxic. It's not like lead acid batteries that are loaded with lead. Or it's not like, you know, uranium that's partially used, but it's still radioactive for a million years. There's nothing like that. This is the cleanest source of energy that exists, and it's being commercialized right now by multiple companies around the world. So pretty interesting. I will keep you posted on this, and of course I'm going to bring you an interview with James Martinez about this topic coming up real soon here, maybe this week. I'm going to reach out to this company Clean Planet in Japan, see if they have somebody that would like to join us for an interview on decentralized TV. That would be kind of cool, have them on and see what they've got to say. And we will be advocates for this technology as it is commercialized and rolled out, because, you know, we support decentralization, and also we love clean energy. Of course we love clean energy. You know, why burn oil and gas if you don't need to, if you can just turn hydrogen mass into energy? E equals MC squared, man. It's the best conversion formula that you could hope for. A little bit of mass, you get a whole lot of energy. That's amazing. That's what we need to power our world and to power the data centers, and, you know, without robbing electricity from the citizens. So this is a big solution. And we have to thank Trump for pushing all the countries in this direction to say, well, we better find some new form of energy, or, you know, we're all screwed because the Middle East is going to be wrecked here. Probably. I mean, part of it's already wrecked, so we're already in this. All right, so you can follow me, by the way, at brightvideos.com, and you can also follow my articles and infographics on all of this at naturalnews.com. Of course, I'm a published scientist, I'm an inventor, I've got patents, I've got a lab, a mass spec laboratory, as you know. And of course, we run ICP-MS, mass spec instruments for elemental analysis. And if there's anything that I can test, you know, with this technology that's coming out from different companies, if I can help validate it with my lab, that's something that I would volunteer to any of these companies if we can be of assistance with our very high-end ISO-accredited mass spec laboratory. I'm happy to you know, participate at no charge, just because I want to help advocate for this technology. So stay tuned. There's a lot more news coming this year on this issue, and you know, don't fret. The end of cheap oil doesn't mean the end of humanity, because we already know about better solutions. And all the technology is emerging at just the right time. The battery tech, you know, the Lenner tech, even the robotics automation for like off-grid living assistance and things like that. All of this AI technology, local AI, that also is very energy hungry, by the way. But this is all emerging very rapidly. Also, very affordable solar panels right now. They're dirt cheap if you want to build a solar system and get yourself off-grid. This is all emerging at just the right time, just when humanity needs it. It's kind of like it's all falling into place. Kind of wild, isn't it? I know. But stay tuned. I'll bring you more stories about all of this as this situation develops. Again, I'm Mike Adams. Thanks for listening. Take care. The Health Rangers Store Memorial Day sale begins May 21st at 11 a.m. and it lasts through May 26th. We've got some great specials for you during that entire sale event. And it starts at 11 a.m. on May 21st. Double points on all purchases. This is huge. So in essence, you're getting about 10% back in terms of loyalty points that you can use against future purchases, or you can convert those points into book tokens to do full-length book creation at brightlearn.ai, or to do more in-depth research with our AI agents at brightanswers.ai. So those tokens are dual use, or you can just use the loyalty points on future purchases at healthrangerstore.com. So I guess it's really triple use. But we've got a lot of things on sale. For example, organic lucuma powder, which is a nice natural sweetener, 40% off. We've got discounts on things like orange essential oil, Groovy Bee, Superfood, freeze-dried organic whole corn, organic pumpkin spice oat latte powder. That's quite delicious, by the way. And many other products that will help you stock up on food as we are facing, you know, a situation in our world where food supplies are going to become quite critical in many areas. But on top of all of the food items and nutritional supplements and personal care that we have on sale with double points during this sale event, we also have third-party vendors that have extended discounts through our store that includes Nahaya Active Organics, which is a personal care and skincare line that's absolutely extraordinary. We have Sharky Forged Steel Tools at 20% off. That's highly unusual. We have the Garden Towers. We've got Delilah Home that has organic cotton and many other amazing fabrics. Those are 10% off. You can check out all the sale items at healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day. All one word, no space, healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day. And again, the sale begins at 11 a.m. on May 21st, and it lasts through May 26th. Again, double points on everything during this Memorial Day sale, which is equivalent to about 10% back on your purchases. And one of the best ways to remember all our loved ones during Memorial Day is to make sure that we are safe and secure for our families and for our futures. And so that's why I just want to emphasize, more than any other year, right now we are facing a food crisis. We're facing, obviously, a fertilizer crisis, an energy crisis in our world. It has not been resolved yet. It's going to get more difficult for the rest of this year and into 2027. So right now at healthrangerstore.com, we have certified organic lab-tested food supplies, including long-term storable foods, many of them freeze-dried in number 10 steel cans that are sealed for ruggedness and portability and long-term durability. And I can't guarantee what our supplies are going to look like later on this year. So this is a great opportunity to stock up now while we have supplies, and we have them at relatively good prices. I mean, we haven't hiked our prices, but food inflation is going to kick in.
the harvest season in the fall or even the winter coming up is going to be probably brutal in terms of scarcity and pricing. And there's no question that our prices will reflect that. So they will go higher naturally in the fall, the winter, and well into 2027. So right now, the best prices you're going to find and huge discounts on many items and roughly 10% back in terms of loyalty points on your purchases. So go to, again, healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day beginning May 21st at 11 a.m. and stock up because we've got it. We've got it tested and clean, certified, organic. We've got it all in our warehouses right here in Central Texas. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I want to wish you all a happy Memorial Day. Take care.